Welcome to Sonic Cereal. Here we are again. Good morning.
Good afternoon and good night.
Episode 15, Season 3. What do we do in this podcast?
Well, in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today we're doing Homogenic by Bjork. Bjork, Mark Bell. It's produced by Bjork, Mark Bell, Guy Sigsworth, Howie B, Marcus Travs.
And it was recorded in London, England, and Marbella, Spain, at the El Cortijo studio.
Yes, and it was released on September 20th, 1997.
And what songs are we doing today?
We're doing All Neon Like, 5 Years, and Immature.
Okay, so we're starting off. With All Neon Like. All right, let's get a one-line overview.
Well, this is mostly an electronic abstract song filled with many ethereal synth sounds, with the exception of the glass harmonica. We talked about the glass harmonica in the debut podcast.
We did.
So, if you don't know what it is, you should check there.
Or just search it on Google.
And this is also the longest song on the album.
So my one line overview is, it's like having an intimate conversation with an alien who just discovered the glow of human emotions.
Wasn't that just darling?
How about you?
Is this what it feels like to be serenaded by a futuristic forest sprite on a neon lit cloud?
Okay. What's your first impression?
It was a lot of, what does this mean? Or what does that mean? And how did they make that sound? And what an interesting beat.
That was your first reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Were you 7?
No.
12?
I got... Yeah, probably closer to 12.
Okay, that makes more sense. What else?
Well, all I could have think of was Bjork in one of her elaborate outfits telling fortunes in outer space.
Oh.
That's cool.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, to give you some background, the lyrics came from a poem she wrote for Details magazine in July 1996, and it was called Techno Prayer. Not till you halo
all over me. And Bjork described the song's lyrics as envisioning someone sewing emotional neon lights into another person's skin to heal them. That's crazy.
That's crazy. That can be a whole movie.
It could be a whole. what's your favorite verse or line?
My favorite is the soft distortion fills you up. Nourish, nourish your turtle heart.
What speaks to you about that?
I like turtles.
No, really, what?
I don't know. It's just, I mean, this song is filled with a lot of interesting imagery, and because the beat and the music has a lot of distortion in it, and so she's just like,
Think she's talking about the music?
I think she's talking about the music.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's okay. Like, that fills you up in your turtle heart because it's so small because it hasn't received enough love or music. That's all you need in life.
Don't get a turtle. Don't have a turtle heart.
Yeah.
I like the lyric, I'll heal you with razor blade, I'll cut a slit open, and the luminous beam finds you honey.
Yes, but don't try that at home.
Please. Wait, is it that the luminous beam? Oh, the luminous beam feeds you. It feeds you honey. Oh, I thought she was saying like the luminous.
She could be saying
the luminous bead feeds you.
It feeds you honey. Can you imagine Electra Abundance saying that?
Yes.
But like saying it in an angry way.
Wait, how does she say it in the song? Does she say it like...
No.
Or it's actually like literally feeding you, honey.
No, it's the other one. But she, you know, she says it caringly.
I don't know. I think it's about it actually feeding you honey.
It's a double entendre. How about that?
Okay, we'll agree to disagree. What do you think the story is behind this song?
Well, some have speculated that this song is to be about an alien abduction or a sexual in nature, but I feel this is about wanting some more magical healing to happen through electronic music, kind of like her song Headphones, where she's like talking about the resonance. Elevates her, whatever.
Cool.
For sure. What do you think it's
for
about?
For sure. I feel like it's about her waiting for somebody to like show them that they're good.
Yeah.
So she can continue to like be a part of them.
That's just too deep for me.
Okay, then let's talk about production highlights. Which is actually deeper.
Well, one of the elements that stands out in this prominent is the prominent glass harmonica throughout the song. And it's played by Alistair Molloy, who played on her Unplugged show in 1994. I like doing those glass harmonicas. And I think it's also played through a sampler. So what they did was they sampled the glass harmonica.
And do you think it was in real time or they took it and then processed it through?
That's what I'm saying. They played it on the sampler. So like, you know, they took liberties with it. Anyway, another cool part of this song, among other cool synths, is a unique distorted drum beat. How it's just like dun 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 dun.
What's another song that uses that?
I don't know. I can't think of any.
If you do, let us know.
Yeah.
I also like the weird kind of growly bass.
Yeah.
And all the sounds and the lyrics kind of definitely like paint an image of a
everything feels like it's knocking.
Here, did they know, or in her song?
In this song, like the bass, the drums, and some of the synths just like they come in really hard, like percussively. Anyway, what were you saying?
I don't know. I think we should talk about live performances.
Well,
what are some of your favorites?
Some of my favorite live performances include a live performance in Spain from 1998 where the strings take over the synth parts and it sounds so beautiful and dramatic. And then later, in 1999, she performed a different version with the Brodsky Quartet and is also quite beautiful.
Oh, you're always the Brodsky Quartet. Then there's a version she did in 2015 with Arca, which has a different beat and a richer strings. How do you feel about that one?
I like it.
Oh,
It's fresh.
I like it too. One of my favorite topics, remixes.
Yeah. Tell us. Well, the only like official person that did a remix was Alec Empire, and he did a remix, and it's quite rare.
What makes it so rare?
Because it wasn't like officially released. So the word on the street is that she wanted to make an EP after Homogenic with a few songs from the album, kind of like a remix album with the Brodsky Quartet and Alec Empire. And here's what he said.
Tell us. Oh, is he British?
Yeah, let's just assume so. No, I think he's German. I don't know.
It's been planned since last summer, and now I want to nail it down over the next 2 or 3 weeks. It was crazy because the last... What is that? It was crazy because the last European tour and the problems we had with the band, everything got so fucked up and I couldn't finish it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you said the string performance is very complex. What I'm trying to do is find a good balance between what I do and what they do.
Wait, who does he mean by they?
Like the string, the Brodsky Quartet.
Oh, got it.
There's so much stuff going on with the strings and Bjork's very powerful voice. The main thing is to find a balance. So they, and the bottom line is that they couldn't find a balance. And that's important. You gotta always
find. You gotta find the balance.
You gotta find the balance.
Also, the augmented reality company Aria created an AR animation that brings the cover to life with a little remix.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I wish... It's fun.
Scoured some of the sites like SoundCloud and whatnot, I found three remixes that I liked. One of them is the Pridum remix. The other one is the Glow Yomi remix. And the last one is the Ridu remix, which...
I do recognize some of these names because I used to go to the Bjork Remix fan websites back in 2007.
That's true. They've probably done other songs, other Bjork songs.
Yeah, there was yeah. Okay. It's a whole thing. Well, are there any covers of this song?
Well, it was covered by jazz saxophonist Greg Osby. Sorry, I know that's more work for you. What about fan reactions?
Well, Luis Fernando said, "This song makes me feel like I'm inside a big, multifaceted crystal, and the light outside makes the chords when they touch the crystal faces. And these are my sentiments, exactly."
You agree with that?
Yeah, I feel that.
Okay.
That's so real.
I feel like it has a Blade Runner-y, Ghost in the Shell, Neuromancer kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of cyberpunky, and it's fucking glorious.
It sure is.
Like a divine healing techno waltz.
That's a great way to describe it.
What about you? Any other user?
Someone said, "This song saved my life. The first time I listened to Homogenic, I was contemplating." What the hell? I'm not gonna read that.
Come on. When it's Bjork, somebody's quote.
When Bjork said, "Don't get angry with yourself," I realized that was exactly what I was doing. Being angry with myself, a calm swept over me. I put the blade away, enjoyed the rest of the album, and went to sleep.
Oh. So he was contemplating suicide, and the song saved him.
I know, it's kind of funny, though. She says, "I cut a slit open, and it feeds you, honey." And he's like, "All right, then."
Gosh.
Well, what do you have to say?
Why didn't you say that they were contemplating suicide? It just made the whole thing feel confusing.
People are smart. They can figure it out.
Okay. I like how she uses her voice so that every word is like almost like bassy, like it resonates with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's cool.
What about critic reactions?
Well, a reviewer from Spin described Bjork's... This is for immature.
Oh. Okay, let's move on. What about, we're going to do Make Your Own Meme, which is new. So...
I don't understand.
Well, we described the photo. There's a pink clog, like a neon pink clog, and then you have to make a meme that refers to Bjork.
What? Where'd you get this idea? I kind of want to make... It's like... When grandma says, "Don't get angry with yourself." It makes no sense. But I want to make it to a meme just so people are like, "Huh?
Can you do a Bjork one, please?" Do a Bjork meme for this picture.
Oh, like a whole Bjork in general?
It has to be something related to Bjork and this photo. Just a phrase, a saying. I don't know. Like, those bitches be tripping.
When a stranger says, "Welcome to Bangkok," I don't know. Just like you're ready to get out and hit her with it. I don't know.
Okay, well.
That was weird.
We got two more of those.
Oh, man.
What's your personal rating of this song in relation to all the other Bjork songs that are out there?
Whatever I gave Hunter, it's one lower than that.
Okay. I think you gave it an 8.
Okay. So, yeah.
I don't know. All right. Cocktail. the all neon light cocktail is
a neon glow cocktail. Its ingredients is 1.5 ounce of
ice. You have to do the thing.
Oh, okay.
People can look it up.
It's pretty much what you expect. It's got lights in your cocktail.
No, it's Icelandic gin, blue curacao, lime juice.
Oh, simple syrup. And a splash of soda water and a glow stick for garnish.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. I've had lights in my drink. I like it.
Yeah. Wait, where?
I like when they put stuff in my drinks. Like rubber duckies and...
G?
Yeah. It's fun. You never know where you might find the prize in the box.
I don't know, I found this remix.
Where is that? I want to go. I'm not playing.
Okay. It's a picture of Bjork, like, I can't even describe it without. I cannot do it justice. Okay, let's talk about 5 years.
A mystery. All right, for 5 years, what's your one line overview?
This is one of the more aggressive songs on the album, with a hard distorted beat, loud strings, and growly vocals. What else does it have?
Some fun sci-fi synths, while the lyrics deal with having a relationship with a commitment phobe.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
What are your first impressions?
All the sounds just took me to space. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. That's actually a really good first impression.
Yeah. Has any music had that effect on you?
Always.
Oh. I thought you were going to say my music, but okay.
That includes your music.
No, I don't like
If that. I said just your music, you'd know that I was bullshitting.
Okay.
What about background?
Well, Bjork first debuted this song in October 1995 while on tour for Post, and at the time it was called I Dare You.
And given the timing, many people speculate the song is about her failed relationship with Tricky.
Yeah. That's a shame.
It's a shame. It's a goddamn shame.
They could have been the power couple, like J-Lo and Ben Affleck or something.
Speaking of, what's your favorite line?
Power couple of the century. My favorite line is... I'm so bored of cowards who say they want, then they can't handle. I mean, it's just so relatable. But honestly, I've been on both sides of that equation.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, sure.
I like, you can't handle love, baby, you can't handle love.
You made it sound like an Elvis song. That's cool.
But I like the idea of confrontation. I get something that
you
I want.
You like confrontation?
No. I like the idea of direct confrontation. Like, just being like, let's figure this shit out.
Huh, interesting.
So that's something I'm trying to get better at.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh man.
What about the story? Like, what's the message behind this?
Well, she has described this song as confronting someone who is unable to handle love and affection. She challenges them to take a risk on love, but realizes they are too afraid to do so. The song emphasizes the frustration with people who claim to want love, but can't truly commit, highlighting the environmental struggle. Oh, man. She does care about the environment.
She does.
Highlighting the emotional struggle and the need for vulnerability to experience the depth of love. Wow.
I mean, we've all been there with people who say they want either people we're with or people we know.
Yeah.
That they say they want love, but they can't actually commit.
No. I get that because sometimes you know, you might just spend a little time with the person and be like high on that one little moment and be like, I can really get into this. But then, you know, you sleep it off and you wake up the next morning, your logical side of the brain kicks in. You're like, no, maybe not. So, yeah, because, you know...
But love is never logical.
When you fall in love, it's always, like, chemicals and things going to your brain. So it's like being high. So you can't kick in that logical part until later.
I got it.
You understand now?
I do.
Am I making sense?
Perfect.
Okay.
Tell us about production.
Well, the song begins with some triangle synths while a Stumpy's distorted beat fades in. And the song is broken up by these breaks filled with sci-fi space shuttle sound effects. And my favorite part is at about 2 minutes and 45 seconds where the strings swell and it feels like you're soaring above green mountain pastures.
Does it feel like that?
I feel like that, yeah.
Okay.
And then it ends with high-pitched tremolo strings climbing higher and higher.
That's evocative.
Thank you. Stop laughing at me.
In 2021, Bjork said, I wanted the song to be standoffish and cold, so the arrangement was supposed to be the opposite of Joga and Bachelorette. That were very passionate and open. Therefore, 5 years is more of a robotic and non-vibrato affair.
That's cool.
She said it best.
She did. So...
live?
Did you know...
Oh.
Yeah, live performance.
No, did I know what? I want to know now.
No, I was going to say, did you know she had live performances of this song? Well,
what's your favorite?
My favorite performance is with the Brodsky Quartet in 1999, and I like how they make it sound like a whole different song, and it's more uplifting.
Have you ever listened to the Brodsky Quartet without Bjork? Like any of their stuff?
They did an album with Elvis Costello, and there's only 2 songs on there I like, to be honest. But yeah,
I should share that with David.
It's good. I like it. What does David have to do with this?
He really likes Elvis Costello. Oh, okay. It's one of his favorite artists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Oh, because they look the same?
No, because that's David used to love that music. He played like the mandolin and...
I mean, I don't really know much about Elvis Costello, to be honest.
Okay. Well, thanks for driving that off the cliff. What about remixes? So it's been it's also been remixed by Alex.
Wait.
What?
You didn't say what you thought of. You were asking me earlier. You really wanted to talk about her orchestral performance in Reykjavik in 2021.
Oh, yeah. That was a good performance.
That's all you wanted to say?
Yeah.
You were begging me about that all night.
Well... I figured it out.
Does she have any remixes?
It's been remixed by Alex Empire as well.
Yeah.
But this one's not rare.
It is also rare.
Okay.
Sorry. It was supposed to be on that EP I was talking about.
Oh.
Like, yeah, but it didn't work out.
And how about covers?
Well, It was covered by Borgor, featuring Adi Umansky.
Okay.
And that's all you need to know.
Take a listen. Yeah.
That's cool.
5 years.
Yeah.
Mire Dust
Instruments. Why is it 5 years?
That's the name of the song.
No, but why do you think Björk called it 5 years?
Like, you're asking me now?
Yeah.
I can barely count to three.
Okay.
How was it sampled?
I was going to say, because it might be half a decade. And a decade's a really, that's a milestone.
Okay.
It's just rounding. A decade's too long.
That's a solid thought process.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They only dated for 1 year. And do you think, like, people think about their exes from 5 years ago?
Especially not if it was only a year. I mean, they may think about them, but...
I mean, it was a highly publicized relationship, so... I don't know if he's ever dated anyone as famous as that. We'll never know.
We'll never know. Or maybe somebody... Maybe there's information out there. It's like the X-Files.
Give us the tea.
And it's been sampled in... two songs.
Yeah.
The first is
Kids and Explosions, Small Problems.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, cool with me, I guess.
What about critics? What are critics saying?
A critic from Slant Magazine highlighted 5 years as a striking example of Björk's ability to transform traditional pop structures. Why making fun of my speech impediment? Into something nearly unrecognizable. The song's ripped paper percussion and soaring strings vividly express the anguish of a capsized relationship with some of its sharpest lyrical barbs. Barbs? Standing out in her catalog. Okay?
Like in a barbed wire.
Oh.
Barbs.
I was
thinking... Not like Nicki Minaj.
Funny. Well...
What do fans have to say?
They said, well, one fan named Dent D said a month ago, he said, over 25 years and only now do I realize she's singing It's Obvious and not It's Not, It's Up the Ass. What? It's,
oh my. You can see it, right? Obvious and...
I never thought of that. Is that like a British slang? It's just so off the ass, mate. I don't know what to do. Well, I shouldn't make it a thing.
That's pale.
What?
That's pale.
Pale.
Yeah, make it a thing.
Like, someone, like, when someone says, like, I can't believe how late you are for dinner, and you're like, I know, it's up the ass. let's move on.
Okay, this is the second of make your own meme. So, describe it for us.
No. I want you to tell me what this Reddit user said. He's about this song.
Oh, he said, I know Björk was half the problem when she wrote this.
That's true.
Yeah.
No one's perfect.
No. And it's never just one person.
Yeah. You can't paint yourself as a saint
or a sinner.
it's always half full, half empty. There's two sides to the story.
Two and a half, one, three quarters, another. I don't know.
Whatever. Well, what's your personal rating of this song?
I give it a 7. Solid 7.
I think I might be the same.
Cool. Any trivia?
Well, I did a mashup of this song with Rihanna's Consideration because the beats were already pretty similar. And it was well received, if I may say so myself.
Oh. Did Bjork...
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Did she send you a comment?
Yeah, she said, this is fire.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
How does it sound to listen to it again?
I like it.
Good. I like it too. Cocktail for 5 years. What's this called?
The 5-year-old brat.
Okay. So it's got aged whiskey, honey syrup, Angostura bitters.
A dash of orange bitters, ice, and the tears of a 5-year-old for garnish. Or just Bjork's tears.
Well, those are priceless.
Yeah.
Immature. That's the one line of review of this song.
Can you imagine? Well, this is the shortest song on the album and my least favorite, but it's okay. And it's probably the most relatable song on the album.
What are you going to do? So Bjork has reflected on Immature as a song about her own realization or relying on others to fill personal voids, which she acknowledges is a sign of immaturity and laziness. She also emphasizes the importance of taking responsibility for one's own happiness and growth rather than expecting someone else to complete them. Do you think that's real?
No.
I could totally see her saying, I do not.
But I fuck with you for trying. Two black hearts. Anyway. I wouldn't want to say that if I was ever famous and someone did a terrible drawing of me. Oh, that's terrible.
What about first impressions of
well,
this song?
Well, my impression is she's really doing that with her voice. Okay, she went there. She really went there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't top that. So let's talk about the background.
Okay, well, basically, a guy named Goldie broke her heart, and she decided to get all Taylor Swift about it. So, in Goldie's words, he said, "Something in me said, you're not to be in love, and until you're happy with yourself, this is as far as you can go." I felt myself being tortured, and Bjork was just there with her hands tied behind her back. No one could help me but me. In other words, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you gonna... the hell are you gonna love somebody else? In the words of Mama Ru. So you get that?
I get that. Totally. For sure. She made this song on piano and had Mark Bell remix it, which is what ended up on the album, and that's why it's sometimes noted as Mark Bell's version. Have you heard the piano version?
I have. Oh. Here's a clip.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's minimal.
Yeah. What's your favorite line from the song?
Basically the whole song. How could I be so immature to think he would replace the missing elements in me? How extremely lazy of me. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah, I have. And yeah, that's my favorite line as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
'Cause the idea of, like, trying to find stuff outside of you, you know, to make you happy.
Yeah.
Is, like, universal. Like,
you know, yeah.
It's, like, human nature.
For sure.
And so it's, like, something everyone can relate to. But the reality is that true fulfillment comes from within.
Two finger claps for you.
What's the story, Morning Glory?
Well, the song is obviously about grappling with the naive notion that a relationship can fill a void within you, or that one person can be the source of all your happiness. And I think we all go through it, especially when we're younger, where you have these naive expectations and fantasies of how a relationship should be. But the reality, unfortunately, doesn't align with that. So you cry your little eyes out.
Have you cried your little eyes out?
I think we have. Have you?
Yeah, I have.
Don't lie to me.
I really have.
I don't think so.
Then why ask?
I'm sorry. Okay, I believe you. Well, the following song, Alarm Clock and All Is Full Is Love, it really shows the growth from this lesson.
What lesson?
To not, like you were saying, put, like, yeah, don't, like, find the happiness within yourself, not outside yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you, sis.
Yeah, you said it. I can't say anything else.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. What about production highlights?
Well, a specific production highlight from this song is the moment where the electronic beats sync perfectly with the dramatic string section during the chorus. I don't think there is any strings on this album. On this song, now that I think about it. Say something.
Maybe it's like synthetic-y sounding strings.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah, and I'd say it's the least homogenic song in the way that it doesn't go like over the top aggressive, distorted drum beats and kind of all dramatic.
For sure.
So yeah. What album would it be on if it wasn't on this one?
Like any of them?
Yeah, if this song fit best for like with one album, which one would it be?
Why are you so hard question? I have to really think about it.
Okay.
No, I'd say Vulnicura.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't want to ask you why.
Please.
What else? Anything particular about her voice?
Well, it has that hummy voice from Hunter, humming the same melody over and over, and there's some distorted pianos and skittering beats. Hmm. So,
for sure.
That's all.
And tell us about live performances. There's a few.
Yes. Some notable performances of the song include her 2008 performance in Paris with the brass instruments for her Volta tour, and in 2011 in Reykjavik with the choir and Jonasen on piano. And she sang it in Icelandic.
Have you heard that version?
Yeah. I played it while we were sitting on the couch.
Oh, that was what that was?
Damn.
I thought it was like a horror movie. No, like something in another language. I guess I heard of another language, but okay, cut that out. What about remixes?
Well, there's the Bjork.
What's the remix called? It's the Eritommy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eritommy?
All right. Then there's also the Robert Bogle Ghost in the Shell reincarnation mix. And there's a good mix called the Redo Mix, R-A-D-U. Check it out.
Awesome. Is there any covers?
I couldn't find any covers, but I heard that you forgot to mention something.
Yeah, a local San Francisco artist by the name of the Genie performed their own mashup of Bachelorette and Peggy Gow. Peggy Gow? At the bottom of the hill.
Oh, just a few blocks down.
Maybe.
From Petrero Hill, where we know people.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know people in Petrero Hill.
Okay, then there's the cover, acapella beatbox cover.
Yeah, and there's the Rhythmic Spectrum remix.
Nice. And what's the last one?
I can't even read this. Gehangers. A Midlife Crisis remix.
That's probably pretty accurate.
Okay, thank you.
And I could not find any samples.
Hey, me neither.
Okay. all right, now we're going to do something called Finish the Riddle.
And I don't want to.
Okay, so it's a picture of Bjork and Beyonce. And Beyonce says, Bjork, it's so nice to see you.
No, she said, it's so nice to see you.
So nice to see you. And then Bjork says,
I have a riddle. What can pass through trees without making rustle leaf?
So let's finish that riddle. What can pass through trees without making the rustle of a leaf?
It's hurting my brain. And she's like, what?
What can pass through trees without making the rustle of the leaf?
And she's like, is this a sex joke? Is this funny?
What's going on with Bjork's hair in this picture?
It's fried.
I thought it was Robert Smith when I first saw it. And it looks like she has a bad tan line of like really thick,
no,
thick glasses.
She has those crystals on her face. Oh. Yeah, it was bedazzled.
I see. What about fan reactions?
Okay. And I'm not like everyone else said. You learn to spend your time without those who actually care
with
about
those.
With those who actually care about you. And you have your best interests. Because all of these fools are tripping.
That's what I said. Told you.
Who makes this stuff?
I don't know. But what's your personal rating?
Of what?
Of the song.
Oh, hold on. Oh man, okay. Thank you. I just had to take that all in.
Is that really her?
No.
I don't know.
Oh man. Okay.
I mean, I could see her saying that line.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you had to choose a picture of yourself to replace that, what would it be? Please tell me you have some.
All will be revealed. Okay. True time.
What's your personal rating?
I'd also give it a 7.
I'd give this a 6. 5. 6.
Oh, okay.
6. 5.
All right.
I don't know.
5.5. Okay. No really trivia, but we have a joke. So yes. The joke is, why did the immature gay guy bring glitter to the party?
I don't know. Why? Oh, because he wanted to sparkle with fabulousness and drama. All right. That joke was pretty immature. Is there cocktails for this?
You tell me. What's it called?
There's a cocktail called She's Spiteful. And its ingredients are
Icelandic vodka,
Campari,
grapefruit juice,
fresh lime juice,
simple syrup,
a splash of tonic water,
and a twist of grapefruit peel for garnish.
Bye, Felicia. Oh, man. Okay.
What are we doing next week?
We are doing Alarm Call, Pluto, and All Is Full of Love. And that's the finish of the album.
And you're excited about this next one.
I am. It's big.
It's a big one.
The big finish.
This was kind of like the filler, you know? Not the filler, that's the wrong way to put it.
No, I kind of feel like they're leaning a bit to filler.
Okay.
Just not as good as the singles.
Yeah.
But they're good.
Yeah.
They deserve a place. They're not a B-side. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay. All right, welcome to the after show. Where you get a behind the scenes look into all of the fights and drama that happens. So,
yeah.
Give us your truth about these songs.
What are you talking about?
You know, just your truth, like, you know, we did the thing, we did the overview and the joke and the cocktail and whatever, but now that all the structure is gone, just, you know, like, flow.
I feel like they're just, like, these songs all together are just, like, that one snack to hold you over before dessert, in between dinner. Or it's like, when an aunt or an uncle takes care of you, but all you really want is to be with mom and dad and brother. They're just the holdovers.
Okay.
Is that a term?
I don't know. It should be. Yeah, I get it. But I wasn't talking about... I wasn't talking about that kind of description. I was talking about...
I mean, we got some Alexander McQueen on the TV.
I was talking
some
about...
Some Trader Joe's Rosé.
Just the individual songs. Like, you know, do you have any specific thoughts about anyone in particular? Like, was... You know, did one of them really speak to you? Or were you like, ah, oh, this is... I like the beat. I'm going to use it.
I would say... If I had to choose one song out of these songs, I would say All Neon Like.
Okay. It's like getting blood from a stone.
So. No, it's 5 years. Because it has strings and I really like strings.
Okay.
Are you going to give me a shot?
Of vodka?
No. Like put me to sleep or something.
Oh, no. We got a lot of work to do tonight. And then we got that dance party to go to.
Yes.
What else? What's going on with your life?
You know, in California.
All right.
I'm...
Just spilled some. Hmm. What?
I'm, just... in my mid-30s. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm about to release an album.
There you go.
Another one. I could have talked about that next episode, but okay.
Well, congratulations. What's the album called?
Cody Says.
And what does that name mean?
It's like the plural of codex, which is like an ancient manuscript. It could be a book of medicines. Any medium of ancient manuscript.
And what's the inspiration for using that name?
Radiohead made a song called Codex, and I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up, and I was like, I like that.
I'm going to use it for a song one day.
I mean, I was like, I like Codex, but I can't use Codex because that's the name of the song, so it's obvious, so I just... found that there's a plural version. Okay. And then I was like, that's cool. That can... Because...
It can reference it, but can stand on his own.
What you do as an artist, if you don't know, is, like, once you come across some cool word, you're like, I want to use that. And then you try to reach, like, backwards... and try and see how it can relate to the art you're creating right now. Mm. And you try to, like, make some fancy, like, how it can be interpreted. Like, you really reach sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And just make the link, the connection.
I
get it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So, Cody says...
Cody says...
Because the songs are with strings, and I feel like that's an ancient instrument.
Yeah.
Like, classical, you know? So, that's all I'm trying to say, is, like, these songs...
I heard it, and you said it.
...are like Cody says.
Yeah.
And it linked up, you know? Because when I planned on making this project, I didn't, like, have, like... You know, after I heard the project, I wasn't like, Cody says. I was like, first Cody says, then the project.
Yeah.
And you know?
I know. Because you told me right now.
All right.
But I get it.
Cool.
Yeah, we're going to go see Tegan and Sarah.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
At the Stern Grove Festival.
They were so such a part of my like early 2010s.
Yeah, I think I first heard them in 2005 from Nicole.
Shout out, girl.
That's crazy. I'll tell her that.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh, wait, no. Sorry. No, what happened was they came up with that song, Walking with the Ghost.
Yeah.
And it was on the radio all the time. Yeah, it was a good song.
Yeah, it was a good song.
My dad liked it, and I liked it. That's where we met in the middle. And yeah, so, and then I went to see Nicole shortly after, and she's like, I got this new Tegan and Sarah album. And I was like, give it to me. I'm going to make a copy.
Was it a record?
No. What are you talking about? It's a CD. This
was, okay.
I said 2005. What are you talking about?
Because she seems like somebody who likes records. Not because of the time.
Yeah.
Like the vinyl, you know?
She didn't get a record player until, like, I don't know, 2008? I don't know.
You know her business like that?
No, I was just making shit up. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I don't remember. Just, yeah, stuff. Life.
Cool.
Good times, good vibes.
Well, this is an hour now.
So. Okay, let's cut it.
Bye.
Bye.